But you know what I mean?
Right. So the enterprise of going to church for you is about spiritual guidance and spiritual food, correct?
It's not.
No, but it is.
But not going to church to get it.
You're in search of spiritual food and spiritual guidance. Generally, you are in search of that. And you say that you are more likely to receive that at home.
No, I'm not likely. I do get
it. You do it, right.
At home.
More so than at church.
Than in a church setting.
Right. What I was trying to say delicately, sir, is that I think a number of people are not really keen on the spiritual food necessarily. But the communion of saints gives them an opportunity for social interaction. So in other words, they don't really go to church for the message. They go to church to see their friends.
I now understand.
Right. And that's the point I'm making. No, I am saying that is not an illegitimate desire. Because as you get older, I think that your well-being is enhanced by both social and also religious guidance, but also social interaction. And I think for them, the idea of listening to a program online is not going to help them. It works for you, but it's not going to help them. Because what they want to do is they want to get out, they want to greet the peace and to interact with their friends in an environment where they believe that everybody is on the same page. And, you know, they like each other and they can put up on the clothes and dress up and go when the Sundays come, you know, put on a hat and all that kind of thing.
I don't want all that.
But there's not for you, but other people like it. And I can tell you a lot of people are going to suffer for a lack of it. No.
But that's what happened.
My church, I know a lot of people at my church. My church.
Yeah. I understand. Go ahead, man. Your church.
I know a lot of people at my church. I know that's what they look forward to.
You see, Peter, you know? A lot of people think that you are going to God, you know. But they're making big jokes. I hear when you ending some of your programs, you say, God bless.
I used to say that when I was agnostic, but I moved on.
You believe in God, but you don't believe in what people talk about God. And what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You don't have to believe what the Bible says. God knows your heart, man.
All right, fair enough.
You sure? Let me tell you, I tell you right that you are in a good place.
But, sir, getting back to the issue, though, do you not think that this is going to be a challenge for those who want the Sunday-to-Sunday social interaction, and they will be deprived of that now?
Yes, it is going to be.
It's going to be a problem. Loneliness for people in that community is hard. Some time ago, I did a survey for BARP, and one of the main issues that people talked about was loneliness and feeling lonely sometimes or all the time. I mean, they have the call-in program to keep them company. They have the telephone, and some of them have, like, they can chat on WhatsApp with the family all over the world and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes down to it, you want to see a person, you know, and you go to church and you sing together, you pray together, and it gives them a feeling of warmth that, sadly, they are going to be lacking over the next few weeks.
But that is true, my concern is I want to know more about God. I want to learn more about God. And that's why that social outstanding is not helpful to me.
Right, but that's you.
I've never been.
Right, that's you.
You see, so I get it while I'm home. I get it morning, noon, and night. I am always tuned and channeled to some scripture, teaching, sermon, a Bible study. I get it home, and it has made me much more stronger over the years than going to church.
Yeah, okay. All right, sir. But thank you for your intervention. It's always good to hear from you. I recently spoke to the individual who you sung just late. He tells me that we may be seeing him shortly again. But he's doing well in London. You're doing well here. All right, sir. Thanks a lot. I want to read this WhatsApp message because it brings to mind another issue that I promised to raise. Peter, this is my first time contacting you. I listened to the minister's announcement. I was expecting that the coronavirus would reach us sooner rather than later. No panic. Here, I do have confidence in our leaders and our health system, but with the emphasis on maintaining sanitary conditions, to keep the virus at bay, how can you do this with no running water? Today is day 9 of dry taps in my part of St. Lucie. I came back on earlier today, and to be frank, the color of the water was contaminated. Looked as though it could have been contaminated with stool. It looks like that more often than not. Should we go to a national shutdown, what do we do? I'm also an Airbnb operator. Out of 11 confirmed reservations between now and April 30th, I've had 9 cancellations. I'm requesting that there should be a bailout for the large hotels. We pay in tax. House owners should not be forgotten. Thank you for your time. I should clarify that the Airbnb properties in St. Peter doesn't suffer from water outages. Now, the reason I said I wanted to mention that is because I did receive a call from another Airbnb operator who said that he had received cancellations right through to me. This is an individual who invested heavily in setting up these apartments for rental, who relies almost exclusively on the rental revenue to make a living. He had good cancellations all the way down through summer and so on, and now he has no cancellations, but will still have to pay bills at the end of this month. So the question that's being asked is, for persons who are involved in the hotel sector, and my understanding is that some of the small and larger hotels have taken proportional hits from this crisis, where they have suffered between thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of dollars in losses as a result of not having people come to their shores and having cancellations. I know this personally, because I have also experienced that as an operator myself. Now, the question is, persons in that situation that are being faced with massive debt payments in not only 1 or 2 months, because they may very well run into 3, where is the help for them? Persons who run bars and shops and hotels who are now being told you have to shut down because your business is impacting, where is the help for them? There is a part of this picture that we have not started yet to address, and that is the economic fallout. The taxi drivers who use the revenue from that to pay for the maintenance of their cars and so on, what's going to happen to them? The people who sell coconuts and so on to vendors by the wayside, you know, people who work in the airport and shops, what is going to happen to all of these people? The economic fallout from this can be devastating. And I know in the United States of America, they've taken the initiative of lowering the Fed rates to almost zero. I do feel that we in Barbados who are in these situations will also need some level of assistance. I appreciate that it is harder for the utility companies to give us the ease, but certainly the finance companies have to come to some kind of a Christian understanding, and I use that word Christian very advisedly, regarding the way forward in a time like this. If I am running a small hotel or I'm running a small business and I am relying on that to make monthly payments back to back, there is absolutely no way I can survive this storm without some kind of an ease that has to come from finance institutions. And I note the language of our Prime Minister that has said she is appealing to these institutions to be cooperative. Now, my presumption is that that appeal for cooperation was in the context of phase one. But as we move to phase 2 and 3, where we are facing the reality of all of this, it has to come from more than cooperation. We have to get to a situation where companies that are offering finance appreciate that this is not a time to extract your pound of flesh. You have to cooperate with us. So we're talking moratoriums, we're talking amnesties, we're talking anything like that, or else this will kill a lot of large and small businesses overnight. Because most people who are in the tourism business, a month without any kind of revenue is flattening them. And I mean, what's happening now is that people are not having cancellations for March or April. They're having cancellations through May. And that's scary. So that's an issue that has not yet been addressed. And if people want to ask about things that need to be done, let's ask about that. Because that is one of those outstanding matters that needs to be addressed, because it will affect people ranging from the taxi driver to the gentleman selling bracelets and little trinkets on the beach, to the individual who is running an Airbnb, and there are many of them, to the individual who is running a small hotel, to the individual who is running a large hotel, because they're also experiencing that kind of challenge. The problem is that all of us are in the same boat, and as a result, once the country is closed to business, as we are being told might very well have to happen, there's an economic fallout. So how are we going to deal with it? So I am anxious to hear what arrangements can be put in place. And this gentleman is very much on the ball. His water issue is a problem that needs to be resolved, and I agree with that. But beyond that, we need to hear something about what kind of help can happen to people who are Airbnb operators who are facing, and he said, between 9 out of 11 cancellations. And I suspect that that's 9 out of 11 cancellations. No, but the other ones may very well cancel closer to the time when they realize they can't get a flight. Down to brass tacks, good morning. Good afternoon, I'm sorry. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Mr. Wickham, take it easy. Be more diplomatic or you will harden your heart against the government. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. So I might understand that the assembly should continue in your opinion. The Bible says a lot of things. Dr. Brastatz, good afternoon.
Hello, Peter.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. Listeners, greetings.
Mm-hmm.
The COVID-19 is having presenting some challenges among the economies in the world and also Barbados. But we need to strike a balance between protecting our economy and protecting our health. I would just like to quote one of the richest men in the world, King Solomon. We say that Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12, for wisdom is a protection just as money is a protection. But the advantage is knowledge, is this wisdom preserves the life of its owner. So we need to strike a balance because we cannot just shut down, not Barbados, because the world shut down, we're in trouble. But we got to strike a balance of how we deal with the gatherings. I hear one of the callers, he was asking about the gatherings. You know, mm-hmm. when we say 100 people, so I guess if we just allow 100 people into your business, you know, they should say that. But that, yes, sir, you got to be 3 feet apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we as individuals know, as humans, we got to work together and how we have to prevent the spread of the virus. You understand what I mean?
Yeah. So okay.
I would just like to add to, just briefly on the religious sector. Like, I am home. I don't usually get to meetings. But I was a young man, I was 59, right? So I just get my meeting by online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm connected to the internet, and I get the whole service from the Kingdom Hall. If I don't get it in Barbados, I just go tune in to America. You get the same meeting. So, but the guy, I do know where he does Hebrews. I can't remember. He thinks Hebrews 10. Mm-hmm. They still don't forsake the gathering of one another. Yeah, social gathering is good too. As you know, we like to see people. I also conduct Bible studies on the phone online. But seeing facial is preferred because you could show your passion and your enthusiasm, mm-hmm. you know. So that when I can talk to you online or on the phone. Like I just call. They call you this morning. Okay, so. They can talk to you on the phone, but when they do face-to-face, it's much more better interaction. But we still got to do, I will conclude and say this, Peter, we still have to do what the Bible says at Romans chapter 13, to be in subjection to the superior authority. The superior authority represents the government. So we have to work with the government. If the government says don't have the meetings, ever shut down the whole place or like that, but you have to congregate home or hook up on the net. So we just will work with that and try to contain the virus and keep calm.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling. Someone is raising some concerns about the hiking association. When the tourists come to Barbados, there's a hiking association that encourages tourists and takes them on hikes across Barbados. The groups are often quite large, maybe more than 100. Certainly, the concern is being expressed that they too should be affected because we wouldn't want to encourage hikes in that way. I think I spoke earlier about people running and walking, but yes, if the groups are certainly more than 100, I would, you know, not want to go in that direction. Down to Brass Stocks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, Raul here. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, Raul. How's it going? Greetings.
Well, I am trying to keep on top of everything, listening to all the comments, etc. Hello?
I'm hearing you, Raul.
Right.
Yeah.
So I wish you well. Mm-hmm. No, all right. I want to, you just made a mouthful, and it is a thing of why I come to discuss with you today. Now, my brother called me, and he was making the point to me that you should have some stuff. You know, you're hearing about the likely lockdown, et cetera, and that you should have some stuff stored, et cetera. But the million-dollar question has got to be asked, and this is the thing where you've just finished discussing. I looked at it from the st- standpoint of persons are living from paycheck to paycheck, and they're rushing every month to pay the utilities, if it be phone, water, electric, etc., if they couldn't be a social conscience applied in a waiver or some accommodation for those people who would have to take that money now and go and store some rice, some whatever, some stock. That is in keeping. You used it from the commercial realm, but I was looking at it from the ordinary person in the street.
So explain to me what you're saying. The ordinary person in the street might be able to do what?
No. All right. You were talking about the waiver for the commercial person in the business.
Right.
I was looking at it for the average man that has got to pay his utilities.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, water, electric, phone, etc. If you were saying that it would be hard for the utility companies to do this, but I was asking if there isn't possible they could look at it in a social context.
No, I mean, maybe the problem is that the utility companies' margins are not particularly generous. The amount of money that they're allowed to make is fixed by law. It's called a rate of return. And the main thing that they have to do is they have to buy fuel, they have to buy oil. Now, the price of oil on the global market has dropped significantly. The challenge, however, is that the oil that they will be burning right now is oil that they bought at market prices.
Yeah.
So it's difficult for them to buy oil at $100 and then sell it back at $50. And I think that's where the challenge was concerned. But I agree with you, sir, that perhaps we can discuss special credit arrangements or something. But there has to be something that can be done to ease up people. Because I agree with you that the person who is selling produce as a farmer, paying the same bills as you and me, right? That person may not have a credit arrangement with a bank. But because you can't pay your bills and you need the food, they may find themselves in difficulty being able to meet their own expenses.
Exactly.
And then the light turn off. So
exactly. Yeah. That's what you mean.
So I'm supportive of that fully, sir. I'm supportive of that fully. This is the kind of constructive engagement that I think that we need to have at this stage, which is raising issues and asking questions that pertain to our ability to get by over the next 3 months, as distinct from you know, criticizing what has been done and that kind of thing.
I'm not about criticism. I'm bigger than that. I'm more assertive than that. I'm not about no criticism. I don't mean you as men say that. But what I'm trying to say, I had to say, look how this coincides with what I have to say with what you have just said. You see what I mean? What a coincidence. Quickly.
Somebody just asked me about Oystins. I mean, clearly Oystins can't go ahead.
This will impact on me.
Because Uncle George alone has got 100 people standing up in front of him. So it's like, that's clearly not something that can happen this weekend. And there are a lot of people who sell on Fridays alone.
Yeah.
And earn a living for the rest of the week from that one night.
You're right.
So... again, that is a source of concern, And then what will all of those people do? I mean, some of them will have stock, some of them will have, you know, that they need to dispose of. Others will just have, you know, expenses they need to meet. That's rough.
Another quick one is that, you know, Mr. Ellis, someone was making the point yesterday about our current storage of stock with food, et cetera, et cetera. And if we are in this together, I'm not nothing to do with this competitor thing you're stationed against someone. I am saying on CBC, on People's Business, that has some persons, the executive director from BCCA and a CEO from Hanshelinis, those persons, those ladies can come and also allay any fear that would be existing from your radio standpoint for the listenership of radio now. And bring the same information that was shared on CBC onto the viewer B to allay any fears of what stores we've got, how many stock, et cetera. And those persons, they did it ably and clearly to allay any kind of fears as regarding the importation of food. They went into a whole set of information. So I think I can relay the information to Mr. Ellis and let him get in contact with these persons because I've got the names. And if they will volunteer to come on and do the site for the viewer B.
Okay.
I wish you a best, sir. Regard you all.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot. The person who told me about not forsaking the assembly of assembling yourselves together has just clarified that she was talking about assembly and going to church and that it was met under normal conditions. So the point that was being made was not that we should not forsake the assembly, that we should assemble under normal conditions and that this is not a normal condition. So thank you for that clarification, ma'am. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. There's a rumor going around that alcohol will kill the virus. The presumption is that if you drink large quantities of alcohol and you carry the virus will be killed. I am reliably informed by medical authorities that that is entirely untrue, that while alcohol of a slightly more pure nature will kill the virus, you cannot ingest alcohol of a slightly more pure nature because you will probably kill yourself. So the idea that you can drink rum and so on, and you know, it's not true. So I just want to dispel any rumors that are out there regarding it. Even though I am not offering medical advice, I really believe that I am well within my lane when I give advice that rum will not kill the virus. Certainly if you drink rum, you probably make yourself more likely to be infected because you lower your resistance and you probably lower your ability to understand what's the difference between 3 feet away and 3 meters away, as the case may be. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Sorry, just to advise you that Sanka tells me that apparently Oystens has been suspended until further notice. So Oystens has been suspended until further notice. The Oystens Fish Festival, which was supposed to be held on the 5th to the 13th of April, has also been postponed. The queue in the community, a notice has come out saying that queue in the community has also been postponed. That is off for the time being. Question about whether or not vendors can continue to play their trade until such time as, you know, too many people are gathering among them, and then maybe that can be done. But the notice from queue is that based on the current situation, Q has announced that the series will be suspended until further notice. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon and welcome.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon and welcome.
Yes, hi, ma'am. Good afternoon, Peter.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, fellow Barbadians. How are you doing?
Great, great.
All right. As a healthcare provider, I totally understand all of the anxiety that is, you know, probably starting to ramp up in Barbados. Regarding the positive COVID-19 cases. However, I want Barbadians to first understand that this is not a BLP nor DLP virus, but a novel COVID-19 virus, which does not have any particular mark on anyone. It will and can affect anyone. Even though children may be, you know, less affected, there are also little vectors that will go around and transmit, you know, and shed the virus to older persons who may also be compromised, whether by non-communicable diseases or, you know, any other illnesses that they may have that may cause some kind of depression to their immune system. Now, I want to first start by applauding the Prime Minister and the government. I live in the United States, and I can tell you that the response from a small island by Barbados made me immensely proud, versus comparison to the response in the United States, which is behind the eight ball. Now, y'all may have to make a little room for me in case, you know, they didn't like that and they shipped me back, but it's all right. I'll be coming home. The thing is this, that Barbadians need to take this seriously. I attended a high-level medical meeting in February, and New York had less than 30 cases then. We are now, today is the 17th of March, we're up to 432 new COVID-19 cases in New York. The statewide, that number has jumped to 1,374, and we have 12 deaths. There are key things that have to be put in place, and those are the same ones that the Prime Minister and her, you know, her other ministers are putting into place. Number one is stage one, where you have contact tracing and containment. We need to take this seriously. The only objection I have is that the caution regarding 100 persons, I think we should reduce that number
to 50.
Here in the United States, we started in New York at 250 and then reduced. I would rather see that number start lower, and then if anything, as we go on after the quarantine period, we increase it back up. But this is the mistake now that we're realizing now in New York. Now we're down. We started at 1,000 persons. Then it was 500. Then it was 250. Last week it was 100. Yesterday it's down to 10. Now we have bars gyms, everything closed. I know there will be socioeconomic hardship and financial hardships to almost every household in Barbados. However, what is needed now is for the private and public sector entities, business entities, to come together to find ways to give relief to the island. The government cannot do it alone. Every Barbadian has to play a part. I know firsthand, I'm seeing firsthand, I'm a healthcare provider on the front lines. In Illinois, I think it's Emory Hospital that has 20 doctors who tested positive. The United States now has a shortage of what is referred to as personal protective equipment, meaning the gowns that cover from your neck all the way down, the goggles, the mask, the filter to prevent the filtration of the virus into persons who are caring for these persons. The other key thing we don't have is enough hospital ICU beds nor ventilators. So I am begging Barbadians, take heed. Social distancing, keep themselves 6 feet or 2 meters away from each other. Hand washing is key. Don't think that because we have sunshine that the sunshine will kill the virus. That has not yet been proven. So an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. People, I heard people talking about children and what are they going to do. There are certain measures that were just implemented here from New York for the schools are closed. Children can be taken to open areas to play so that, you know, they don't get frustrated, confined into small spaces. But we have to protect our elderly. The elderly persons are the ones who are being impacted negatively the most. And this is a time for unity. This is a time for us to exemplify that 98% literacy rate that we brag all over the world, including me, about. If we're this literate, let us show it. It is not B, it is not B, it is us.
Yeah, okay. Well said. Do you have any idea the basis on which the number 100 was arrived at, or you're gone? Yeah. My question was whether the basis on which the number 100 was arrived at, and whether this is mandatory or there or thereabouts or optional, in the sense that if you are looking at a large gathering, you may want to exercise the option not to be there. This is my sense. But I do agree with most of what you said, that we need to see this issue as being a non-political one. We need to take guidance. My advice to people, if you think that you're uncomfortable gathering among 60 or 70 people, then just don't go. My advice to my mother, who is over 70, bless her, she's 88 years old, is that she should avoid all large gatherings, period. So the church and so on. The Autumn Leaves Club and the meetings, all of those things, they're not things that you need to do. For the time being, you have the television and you have cable and you have WhatsApp. You can call and chat with different people. And that, to me, is sadly what we're going to have to do for the time being. Because when you're over a certain age, I just think the risk associated with associating with people that you do not have to associate with necessarily is too high. It's too great a price to pay. Down to brass tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. 424-1790. Hey, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
Oh, hello. Hi. I was speaking to Peter just now. I wanted to ask a follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.